Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Lord, yes, you are great. You are wonderful. You are so praiseworthy. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we know who you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for saving us. And Lord, this evening, as we come into your presence, we just want to hear from you. We want you, Lord, to take control of our lives. Guide us, Lord, down this narrow path, Lord. This road wants to have us take all kinds of detours, Lord. We just want to stay on that straight and narrow. We want to walk beside you. We want to know that you have our back, that you are, we're near you, Lord. That's what we want. And so, Father, help us this evening to glean all that we can from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening. How y'all doing? Good. Yay. Yay. Awesome. Glad you're here. Okay, as you know, there've been some, you know, rollbacks. Ducey, that's Governor Ducey. Ducey's doing the Watusi. No, he's kind of rolling back some of the things. But listen, we're gonna do church. I do not. It's gonna take a powerful act for me to shut the church down again. It's gonna have to be something major. Yeah. You know, I was at Smith's, and this guy walks up, and we were just talking. He goes, "Hey, where'd you get your mask?" I said, "The mask I was wearing, because you can't go in Smith without one." And I said, "Well, my wife made it. It's actually the sleeve of a T-shirt." He goes, "Oh, that's cool." He goes, "This is so dumb." I go, "Yeah, think about this. If masks work, then why can't we all just wear masks and open everything up?" Yeah. Right? I mean, isn't that stupid? It's like, put on a mask, but they don't work, so we got to close everything down, but we're going to force you to wear. Listen, it's so dumb. I don't want to get political, but our church is open, and we're going to stay open. Tomorrow, we have women's class at 9 o'clock. If you weren't able to make the Monday night study, well, they're having their class, the same class tomorrow at 9. So feel free to join in there. I love Nehemiah. People ask me all the time, who do I kind of compare myself to in the Bible? I would say Nehemiah. I just, long story. But anyways, Axis, young adults. The book is in the bookstore. If you need a copy, if you plan on going, they're studying the book of Daniel. Awesome. Way to go. Really, really great. Also be praying about the book of Revelation. I'm going to make cards so that you can invite people, because in this time when there's a lot of turmoil, it's a great way to get answers of what's coming, what's around the corner. So keep that in mind. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. It's one of my top 10 favorite verses in the Bible. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I've entitled our message, God Has a Plan. Let me pray one more time. God, speak to us tonight that we would hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jeremiah 29, 11, you're probably very, very familiar with it. It's like on a billion postcards and T-shirts and all that stuff. So let's read it, but I pray that by the time we're done with tonight's service, you will look at that verse just a little bit differently. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, one day, all of this will end. One day, the world will be cosmic dust. One day, your number will come up. My number, one day you and I will take our last breath. Who here knows that one day they're going to die? You didn't have to put your hand up. Yeah, listen. Listen, most people don't look forward to it. Most people don't. But it's okay. Listen, it's part of the plan. Just like we all know we had a day to be born, we all know that there's going to be a day in which we will all pass from this life. But the question is, where will you be after that end? Will you be in the good place
or the bad?
Listen, understand this. Everyone will see God face to face, good or bad. Yet the Bible tells us every knee will bow, every tongue confessed. Listen, even the most honorable, earthly, arrogant person will grovel before the living God. They may not worship him, but they will see him and they will know. Every atheist, every person that you have ever spoken to that have rejected God will one day know you were right. And though we can smile about that now, it's kind of sad and heartbreaking. But that's not God's desire for them, for us, for anyone. God desires that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance, to salvation. So let's look at this. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Think about that for one moment. All powerful, all knowing, omnipotent God thinks about you. Listen, he thinks about us. But listen, God doesn't just think about us corporately. You know, I'm thinking about HBC and you happen to be a part of it. Or I'm thinking about Arizona Church and you're a part of that. I'm thinking about America. No, no, no. God thinks about us individually. Isn't that wild? You know, I think about my kids. You know, when they're little, I thought about what their future is going to be. You know, I had nothing but the best aspirations for them, like any good parent. I think about my bride and I, what our future has, what the future has in store for us. But there are certain people I don't think about, like the guy at the airport that makes me take off my shoes. The only thing I think about him is what a jerk. No, it's not his fault. I'm like, how does taking off your shoes bring safety to an airplane? I think it puts the people in danger when I take off my shoes, but that's a whole nother story. But I don't even remember their face. It could have been a woman. I don't know. But that's the thing. There are certain people, the ones that I love, y'all, my kids, my bride, I think of because you're valuable to me. God says that he cares about us enough that he thinks about you and he even has plans. Wow. You know, think about if you work at Walmart. I used to work at Walmart. You know what section of Walmart I worked in? Shoe department. How ironic. Look, but the president of Walmart, when I worked there, he didn't care about me as an individual. He only cared about how much the stores were making and how much loss was involved in the store. But God Almighty, listen, the president of Walmart may not have thought about me, but God thought about me, the creator of all things. Wow. When you really sit down and think and ponder that for a moment, it should blow your mind that God loves you that much, that he takes the time to not just think about you, but hey, you know what? I got plans. There's things that Randy could do. There's if he goes this way, oh, the blessings that are in store, that they, oh, look, wait, why is he going that way? I didn't tell you to go that way, Randy. I'm like, yeah, I know. But God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You know, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, he'd have your picture in it. If he had a Facebook page, there would be a banner with your picture on it, right on front. Because he loves us individually, not just corporately. Sometimes we think, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No, no, no. Understand, God loves you that he would have given his only begotten son just for you. Wow. Not only that, he says, I have thoughts towards you individually. And he says, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Peace. What was last year like for you? Was it full of peace? Was it full of God's glory and blessings? Was it a banner to the glory and power of God? Or was last year kind of a wah, 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 wah? Was it like, are you even a Christian? Because you were walking around with anxiety and fear and doubt. Were you walking in the full power of God? Huh. Listen, here's what we have. Here's what I have. Here's what you have. We have our own plans, right? We have our own ideas about the future. We have our own thoughts of how we can get there, right? We have our goals, our plans, our strategies. You ever, I had a friend of mine who I walked over to his house and he had a poster, a collage on his wall. And I'm like, what is that? And it had like models on it, you know, like supermodels with, you know, fancy clothes. It had a yacht. It had Porsches and Lamborghinis and a big mansion and expensive sunglasses and all, a Rolex watch. And it was all just kind of glued on there. I'm like, what is that? He said, this is my positive thinking wall. What do you mean? He goes, well, what I do is I look at that and it reminds me those are my goals. And I'm like, what? Where is God? There was not a Bible verse on there, and this was a Christian. There's not a Bible verse on there. There was not anything on there that seemed even remotely like he wanted God's plan in his life. See, he had a goal, he had plans, he had strategies. But they weren't godly. They might have been good for him, but it wasn't good for the Lord. None of that stuff was. Some people, though, there's other people who don't have any plans. They live day, by the seat of their pants. I don't know how they do that. They're so unorganized. God has a plan for you individually. We have to go to him individually and say, Lord, what is it? But my problem is probably the same problem that you have. And that's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now notice this. Notice here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And in our verse, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, you will search for me with all your heart. Do you get an impression here that God is really concerned with all of your heart? We tend to live as if we think God only wants part of our heart. But God's like, no, no, no. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Search for me with all your heart. And then he goes on in Proverbs 3. He says, lean not on your own understanding. I'm guilty of that. I tend to lean more on my own understanding than I do trust in the Lord's leading. He says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. If I'm not acknowledging God in all my ways, he can't or won't direct my path. Why? Because I'm not involved. I'm not on his path. But if I lay everything down, listen, okay, God has a plan for me, so let me live according to God's word then God can direct my path because I'm walking on the path that he has laid for me in his word. I'm going to tell you something. How many of you love, well, I'm going to assume we have dog lovers here, right? You got some dog lovers? Okay, great. I love a particular breed of dog. Now, I want to tell you a little secret. My wife, when we first got married, I kept telling her, I want this particular breed of dog. And she was like, no, never, never, never. Because I like pit bulls. I've always loved pit bulls. Now she loves pit bulls. We have a pit bull. And they say that dogs resemble their masters. You ever see how big a pit bull's head is? Go ahead, put the picture up. Did you grab the picture or you thought it was something else? 1 second. Okay, never mind. Timing is everything. Okay. All right, so there you go. Wait, hold on, let me. Yeah. Okay, thank you. You ever have a dog? I remember I used to have another pit bull. Her name was Buckwheat. And I chained my dog because the dog wanted to go outside. Loved to go outside. It was California. Who doesn't love to be outside? So I chained the dog to the tree so that the dog could be outside, but I didn't want the dog to go out into the street. So what did the dog do? The dog would run around the tree in the same direction. I tried to get the dog to go the other way because what I could see is what the dog couldn't see. And that is, if you kept going the same direction, you're going to get tangled. And pretty soon you're stuck and the dog's like, you know. The dog entangled itself because it could not see what the master saw. It didn't know any better. The dog didn't want my help. When I try to help the dog go the other direction, the dog was like, no, leave me alone. I just want to have fun. And me being the master, I'm like, okay, dude, you're going to end up not being able to run anymore because you're going to get all tangled. And he continued in his own understanding. He continues to go his own way, refusing to heed his master. And me as his master, I just wanted the best for him. I would have loved to let him run free, but I didn't want him to get hit by a car. So I put him on a leash. The dog thought that his master didn't want him to enjoy his life, when really I wanted him to enjoy his life and keep his life safe. That's why he says in Proverbs, let's read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I'm like trying to tell the dog, go the other way. You'll have more freedom. You'll have the length of the chain to run around the yard. God has a plan. Just like we as masters have a plan for our pets. But when you and I, when we're not choked up yet, when we're not out of rope, we keep going the way we want to go until we're stuck and then we're crying out, why? That's why the Bible says this. You will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You see, we go opposite the truth and it just, well... We come to the end of our rope, pardon the pun. Too often, if we keep going our own way, we will come to the end of our rope. And God says, you didn't need to go to the end of your rope. You've kind of run free. And by the way, if the dog had been even more obedient where he would have stayed in the yard, I wouldn't have had to use a chain. Obedience brings freedom. And God says, Randy, because, you know, I'll tell you, in my constant prayer, I pray, God, keep me on a short leash so I stay right beside the Lord. Why? Because if he gave me a long leash, I'd find something to choke myself off on. Because I'm like the pit bull, just happy and dumb. Every now and give me a treat. I'm all right. Now, I want you to know this. I love America. I do. But America, the American church is like a pit bull. What do you mean? Well, the American church is going its own way. The vast majority of the churches in America are going their own way, ignoring what the Bible is telling us. Let me prove it to you. Do me a favor. Put a bookmark in Jeremiah and turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. The lukewarm church of Laodicea. And the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says this, I know your works. In other words, I see you running around with your chain, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He says, because you're neither hot nor cold, because you kind of just play church. It makes God sick. Why does it make God sick? Because he gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us, and for us not to then live our life for him is to make it a mockery. It would make him sick. How would it make you feel if your child gave their life for someone and that person said, oh, thanks, whatever? It'd make you sick. But then he says this, look it, because you say, listen here, think of America, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Naked. Think about that. Poor, blind, and naked. Why? Well, in America, what sells? Naked. Naked sells. It does. We're poor, spiritually poor. Blind, because we're looking at the wrong things, and America is naked. And look what he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, not this gold, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. The shame of the fact that America is so wealthy and so on its own and so after nakedness, we should be ashamed of that. And he says this, look at, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see, that you see the right things the right way. And then he says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know what that means? As many as I love, I put them on a leash. I put them on a chain. Keep them safe. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Hold on a second. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church of Laodicea, and Jesus is saying, I'm on the outside knocking, wanting to come into the church. Why? Because so much of the church is just doing what they want to do. We are going our own way. We're choking ourselves off. We're missing out on the plan of God. Wow. And then he says this, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not to the people on the outside. He's talking about to the people on the inside. Knocking on the door. I want to come into the church. The church is supposed to be about Jesus. Oh, they got works. I know your works. But there's an arrogance We got it figured out. We got the yachts and the boats and the cars and the nice clothes. And he says, no, no, no. Buy from me gold refined with fire and white linen spiritually. You know, you go over to third world countries, and they are so willing to receive, even to die for Christ as they're being persecuted. But then you come to first world churches here in America, and they're too busy running around. They're running around the tree having fun until they're choked off. And then they go, maybe I should go to church. What? Church isn't a priority. It's an extracurricular activity. Seeking God is not a desire and demand of their heart. It's a filler. And they're missing the part where it says, seek God with what? All your heart. And they seek God one day of the week. And sometimes even not then. Huh. You got to wonder. You know, when I see my dogs and they're running, I'm like, come on, dogs. So many dogs are smart. I've seen dogs count, do math. Seen dogs go and get slippers for their master. And I get dogs that can't keep themselves from getting choked out. Just goofy fun. I guess they resemble their master. The church in America is going its own way. And God's like, I have a plan. You do? Yes. Where is it? It's in the Word. The Word of God is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It is the path. It is the map. It's the road map. But I don't like everything that's in the Bible. When you look at a map, you go, you know, I don't like where they put this street. I'm not going to. But that's the street we need. I don't care. I don't like where it's at. Listen. He says this. Let's go back to Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me address something real quick here. When I read that, a cursory read, I forget that at this time, the Israelites are in captivity. And he's saying, listen, y'all, you're not in a good place. So I have to ask myself, okay, wait, hold on a second. But nothing happens outside of God's will, right?
Right.
I'll answer the question. So does this mean, like I've heard in some other churches, that God wants me to be healthy, wealthy, happy, and wise? Well, yes and no. Well, what do you mean? Some churches will take this verse and they turn it into a name it, claim it, believe it, receive it, blab it, grab it. Whatever you want. Listen, there's even churches that write books that talk about how God wants you to be healthy, God wants you to be wealthy, so that you'll be a witness for him. Huh. I find a real difficult time with that. Why? Well, we just saw Paul. We've been looking at Paul in Acts, right? And in Acts 20, what was God's plan for Paul? Chains and persecution await him in every city. Remember he said that in Acts 20? He said, but none of those things move me. God, sometimes his plan calls for us to patiently trust him, even in difficulty. Sometimes God says, when suffering comes, sometimes suffering is going to stay, but eventually it'll pass. But it might stay a while. Does that mean that God doesn't have a plan for the hope in the future? No, he always has a plan for a hope and a future. Well, Pastor, that's not making any sense. You said he had a plan for a hope and a future of peace, not evil. Now you're telling me it may include suffering? That sounds kind of evil. I don't like it. Well, let's look at this. Let's go a little deeper than surface. I pray that the rest of 2020, I pray that we would seek God even the more. Not too long ago, I led someone to the Lord, a young person. And they said this. They said, I don't want to be one of those persons who goes to church but doesn't live like a Christian. That was an unbeliever on the day they received Christ. That was their perception of the church. Where did they get that perception? Well, because unfortunately, this unbeliever was wise enough to see someone who said they were a Christian who wasn't living the Christian life. They were going their own way. They were going to keep going around that tree until they choked themselves out. Let me give you an example. Keep your bookmark here, but I want you to turn to Mark. Keep it in Jeremiah, but turn to Mark chapter 10. You're probably familiar with the story, but I want to look at it from a different perspective, our perspective today. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, the rich young ruler. Look at this, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running. When Jesus was, walking, look at how he came. How did this rich young ruler come to him? Running. He is running to who? Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Man, I wish people were running to church to get to Jesus. I often said, we got a pile of chairs back there. Those all represent people who should be here on Sundays and Wednesdays who are not. The empty chairs we have here are people who should be here running to Jesus. So here's this guy, rich young ruler. What is he doing? He came running and knelt before him. He's rich, he's young, he's a ruler, and he runs and kneels before Jesus right there on the road. Wow. That's awesome. And he asks him, good teacher. This guy is ripe for the pickings. Comes running, kneels, said good teacher, and he says, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What does this guy want? He wants eternal life. This is awesome. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. So in other words, he's saying, look, you're calling me good and you're right, but I want you to know there's only one good and he is God. Jesus is basically saying, that is who I am. And he goes on and says, without skipping a beat, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not fraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. That's not true. Not one of us is able to keep the commandments. The purpose of the commandments was to make us know that we're sinners in need of a savior. So he says, hey, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then look at Jesus. Then look. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him. It's important that it didn't have to tell us that he loved him. But I would love this guy too. Why? Look, he came running. He knelt. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, all these things. Listen, you get the impression this guy is like really wanting more. He's been religious, but even in his heart, he knows there's got to be something more. Because if he really believed that he had kept all those things, then why is he coming to Jesus and saying, what must I do in the internal? He knew there was something missing, right? And Jesus goes, man, I love this. I love these questions. I love his zeal. I love the way he came to me. And then he says this, one thing you lack. How would you like God to tell you, you know what? You only lack one thing. Because honestly, I'm sure God says, Randy, you lack about 552 billion things. I'm a lacky person. He says, you lack one thing. Go your way. Oh, go your way. Isn't that interesting? He already, by the way, he already is going his own way. Watch. Go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Where will you have treasure? Where? Heaven. Hang that on your belt. And come, take up your cross. And follow me. Now we read that, take up your cross and follow me. We don't understand the brevity of that. Why? Because we don't have every weekend the Romans crucifying people out in the... If we went down into Bullhead and every weekend there were people brutally murdered on the cross and someone came to you and said, hey, we got to pick up our cross and go. You'd be like, that's heavy. So he says, sell everything, rich young ruler, be a poor ruler. In fact, don't even be a ruler. Become poor and destitute. Oh, and not just that, you're going to pick up your cross and die. But Jesus says, if you do that, if you sell what you have, and you pick up your cross and die with me, what will you have in heaven? Riches where? In heaven. And heaven is forever. And then it says, but he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what that means? That rich young ruler went, man, that was a convicting message. That message hit me right here, but I'm not going to change. Isn't that the church in America? And church in America's, oh, Pastor Randy, what a convicting message. Man, I feel it, but I ain't going to change. Oh, no wonder we need salve for our eyes to clear our eyes. No wonder God says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth because it makes us, because we're like the rich young ruler. What must I do to be saved? Oh, I got to do that? No, thank you. I'll pass. Huh. Listen, he said, I've kept all of these things from my youth. But he wouldn't give all to the poor. He had done good, he just didn't want to do right. See, that's the difference. Brothers and sisters, you and I can do good, but are we doing right? I can do good things that will not make me righteous, but I can do righteous things that are good. There's a huge difference. Here's another example, okay, of religious, not righteous. Turn with me now to John chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. So, by the way, what was Jesus telling that rich young ruler? He was telling him, I have plans for you of a hope and a future. Because he said, if you sell it all, you'll have riches where? In heaven. That's the future. Watch the same thing here, but this is other religious people, but on a completely different scale. This young ruler came kneeling before Jesus. These guys, completely different. John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Therefore the Jews, which Jews? The religious leaders, the priests, the pastors, if you will, the bishops, just to put it in a vernacular. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Not to kneel before him, not to seek how to get to heaven, none of that stuff. They sought all the more to kill him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So when people say that Jesus never claimed to be God, you can take him to John chapter 5 and say, look at the Jews who were right there listening to him, even were mad and wanted to kill him because Jesus made himself equal with God. Now, these religious leaders, let's talk about them briefly. They memorized scripture. They tithed a tenth every time a tenth was required. They prayed openly for everyone to hear them, and they did it often, and they did it loud. They fasted often. They never missed a Sabbath in the synagogue. They never missed a Bible study. They led the Bible study. So they were doing good, but they were not doing right. Huge difference. And these Jews, these religious leaders, they didn't like Jesus for what he said and what he did. Verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, who is the them? Remember, it's the religious leaders who wanted to kill him. Okay, he's going to talk to them from verse 19 through 47. I'm just going to pick some parts between 19 and 47 just to highlight. Look at Jesus and how he responds to who? Religious leaders who want to what? Kill him. Verse 24. Jump down. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. You know what Jesus is saying to the people who want to murder him? He's saying, I want to spend eternity with you guys. If someone wanted to kill you, would you go, aw, I just want to be with you forever? Wouldn't it be nice if we just cuddle in heaven? Jesus is saying, guys, if you just stop, don't kill me. If you just believe in me, we can spend eternity together. I know you hate me, but I love you. Wow. The very people who hated him, he wants everlasting life for them. But they want to run around and strangle themselves. They want to run around and use their leash to strangle Jesus. They want to strangle themselves on a rope of hate. And we might think, oh, how could they? And God is saying, yeah, Randy, how could you? I give you my word and say, go this way and you go that way. I have a hope and a future for you. And my response is, no, I just want to run around and choke myself. And why do these religious leaders want to kill Jesus? Why? Well, because he healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. Huh. They didn't like what he was doing. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like Jesus' timing. If he would have done it on Monday, or if he would have done it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but they did it on Saturday. Oh, no, you don't. You don't heal someone on Saturday. Really? You don't show love on Saturday. But isn't that, by the way, what happened to the Israelites? What do you mean? They were going around the mountain. They were tethered to the mountain until they choked themselves out. That was their leash. They were kept going around the mountain, and that's as far as they could go, and they kept going the same direction. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to the master, and many of them died. It was the longest funeral procession ever. That whole 40 years, men were dying. Why? Because 40 years earlier, they could have went straight into the promised land. They could have been in the promised land for 40 years. Brothers and sisters, here's my point. God has a plan for you and I. To get us from point A to point B quickly. But we'll tether ourselves and go in a circle because we don't want to go his way. God has a plan of thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a hope and a future. That's just a side note. People will come to me and say, Pastor Randy, why do good people die young? And it seems like the rotten people live forever. One person said this, well, that's because God wants the good people with him. But I see in Scripture that scripture we just read, God wants the hating murderers with him too. Isn't that mind-boggling? God, Jesus, they want to kill him all the more, and he wants to love them all the more. Wow. I think sometimes the reason that some really wicked people live a long life is because God's giving them time to repent. He wants them to repent. I've known a few of those and wondered, as I watch someone young and godly die and someone old and nasty live long life and hateful and just, you go, why does this one die and that one? Well, God's giving that person a time to repent. He wants them to come to, he has a plan, a hope and a future for them. The problem with many churches, the problem with many in the churches is found in verse 12 and 13 of Jeremiah. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We will. Listen, you guys are here on a Wednesday night during COVID, whatever that is, during COVID. Because you're seeking God. But what happens in your heart and my heart, if we are honest, we'll seek God until we don't like the direction, when we don't like what his word says or the way he wants us to go. Because you know what? It's going to cost me something. Time, treasure, talents, whatever. And God, Jesus says, but listen, if you would just trust the master, I don't want you to be tangled up. I want you to be free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When the Lord Jesus Christ tells you and I the hardest things to do, it's because he wants the best for you. When he tells you the hardest things to do, it's because he wants the best for you. It rhymes. That's how you know it's the truth. Back in John chapter 5, we were looking at that. Just to prove to you, in verse 34, he's talking to those religious leaders. He says, but I say these things that you may be saved. He wants them saved. They want him dead. God's heart for you and I, it's not based on how good you are. Because here he wants these guys saved, and they're rotten. And they're leading people astray. And they want to kill him that very day. They don't give a hey. Anyways, more truth for you. a bad rap song. There's a story of a teacher. This teacher obviously didn't like the Bible and what the Bible says. And the teacher said this. The teacher said, it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was very large, it's a very large mammal, its throat is very small. Then a little girl said, but teacher, in the Bible, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher became irritated. And the teacher reiterated that a whale could not possibly swallow a human. It's physically impossible. It could not happen. And the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And the teacher says, well, what if Jonah went to hell? And the little girl says, well, then you can ask him. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. See, God's plan for a hope in a future may not be in this life. For Paul, trust me, when we get to heaven, Paul's position, Paul's blessing, Paul's whatever we're going to receive in heaven is going to be tremendous. Why? Because he endured more than you and I will ever see. Or who knows? Yikes. Jesus goes on and he says this in John chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But in John chapter 5, he continued, verse 39 through 40. He says, "You search the scriptures," and I quote this all the time, "for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." You keep telling you, go the other way. You're choking. It's just like that stubborn pit bull. We can't just read the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, we cannot just read the scriptures. They read the scriptures and they still wanted to kill Jesus. We must see the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures. If we see Jesus Christ, we know he is the way, the truth, and the life. If he is the way for us, if he's leading us to truth, he will then give us eternal life. That's the hope in the future that he has for us. Not that we would prosper. What good is it if you have a cancer and he heals you from cancer or whatever disease? He makes you a billionaire and you have all this and you go to hell. What good is that? What good is that? God's plan is so much better. God's plan says, listen, I might heal you, I might not. Maybe my grace is sufficient for you. You might be persecuted, you might not. Trust me, your reward in heaven is great. All of this, you know what it stems from? It stems from his pure love for us. And I get people say, well, wait, how do I know God loves me? Oh my gosh. He went to the cross. He was brutalized. For the joy that was set before him, he did it for you. So when I go, you know, I don't think God loves me, he's like, oy vey. What more can I do? That would be like a husband brings chocolate and flowers, massage, fancy restaurant, jewelry. And the wife says, you don't love me. You're right. Let me sell all that and buy some guns. God has done so much more than we could ever, ever say thank you for. But what do? We're selfish. We want what I want. What can I do? What does God want? It doesn't matter. I've got my one life to live. I got to soak it all up. I got to do what's right for me. God, you stay on the back burner. And God's like, well, I had some plans for you, but go ahead, go around the tree. And then we're like, and he's like, you wouldn't listen. Sorry. And then we blame God. Why would you let this happen? And he's like, oh, man. But all of this stems from his love. Out of his love, he wants to untangle us from the mess we get ourselves in. Right? Isn't that what we do for our dogs when they get tangled up? Oh, come here, Fluffy. You don't call a pit bull Fluffy, but come here, killer. You untangle them. They're like, oh, yay, jumping around. Tie them up. They're back to going the same direction. God, he has a new direction for us to go. A better direction. He says, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But the key is found in verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with. Let me hear it like you're giving all your heart. With. Yeah. If we seek him with all our heart. That's why in Matthew 22, Jesus, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all of it. That's the greatest. That's the best. You do that and you won't get tangled. Now, doesn't mean you won't get persecution. That can happen, sure, yeah. But you won't get tangled. I want to read to you a song that every time I hear it, when I pay attention to the words, I cry. So I try not, when it's on, I go, I'm not going to listen to it, but I'm going to read you the words. It's a song that Mercy Me does, and it's an old hymn. And let me see if I can do this justice. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches the lowest hell. The guilty pair piled down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciles and pardons from his sin. If we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall evermore endure the saints' and angels' song. The things that God has done for us. If you filled the ocean with ink, the sky was parchment, couldn't contain it. What we tend to do is we look at the sky and we forget the maker. We look at the stocks and we forget who made them. We only look at what we can make them for ourselves. How big a house? How big a boat? How big a car? And we're missing the one who should be the star of our life. But you know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says, hide the Word of God in your heart. And what the problem is that too many people end up taking Jesus and hiding him in our heart. And we hide him so well that no one knows that we have Jesus in our life. You know, my wife and I have played around with the idea of getting tattoos. And I thought one time that maybe I'd get a tattoo of an Easter egg and tell the guy to hide it so I can't find it. My wife said horrible. I guess she doesn't like that idea. But we shouldn't hide Jesus. We shouldn't hide Jesus, but that's what we want to do sometimes. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to read to you a few verses that speak of God's steadfast love, about his hope for us, about his goal for our lives, and then we're going to reread Jeremiah one last time before we close. But let me give you some verses. How about Isaiah 26? You're going to have to jot these down because I'm going to go a little fast. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts you. You want a perfect peace? Because God says to give you a hope, a future, and a peace, not of evil. Well, steadfast mind, keep you in perfect peace, because we trust in him. How about John 16:33? In John 16:33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. Where is peace? In Christ. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, look, I've got peace for you, but it's found in me. So if you keep me with you, you're going to have peace. Even if the world is full of tribulation, don't worry, because he's overcome the world. That's only going to be for a short period of time. Or how about Isaiah 41:10? Isaiah 41:10. Listen to this. This is very important. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Listen, don't get anxious and depressed looking around at whatever's going around in the world. I am with you. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, it's getting crazy out there. Woo! Not really woo, just like whoa. More like whoa, not a woo. I got that wrong. But It's crazy. Just, it's beyond lunacy. But God has overcome this world. And we don't have to be anxious. We just need to make sure we keep him with us. And how do we do that? By going the direction he wants us to go. Because he's not going to follow us. We are to follow him. Too many people want God to follow us. Well, I'm going to go this way. I hope God follows me. And God's like, no, I have a path for you. I have a plan and a hope and a future. You got to go my way. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, but I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. Casting the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concern, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately. He cares for you watchfully. Listen, he says, take your anxieties, your worries, your concern, once and for all, and give them to him. God, this is you. You've overcome the world. This world isn't too big for you to handle. Then my worries and my anxieties, you got it. You got me covered. He has us covered, folks. He has a plan. We must line up our lives with his plan. So let's read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. And then I want to read one more verse to you, and then we're going to close. Don't close your heart. So God is speaking to you tonight. Please hear him. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. So he's thinking about you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me. Then you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We must stop giving Jesus part of our heart when he gave the whole of himself for us. I've got one more verse, and I love this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in our heart, in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. We can't. I can't fathom what heaven's going to be like. I really try, and it just gets me excited. And then I look around the world and I'm like, man, it's going down the drain really fast. And I got to go, Lord, don't let me be anxious. Don't let me fear. Let me trust in you, for you are near. It rhymed again. I don't know. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have a hope and a future for us. Thank you, you have a plan. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I just pray tonight that each one of us, no matter where we are, would see, where do we fall? Where do you fall on our priority scale? Where does your word and your will, like for instance, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, well, no, that's everyone else, just not me, because I got things to do. You should be servant of all. Well, if I have time. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what you said, Lord. But I got my own ambition, my own things I want to do. Lord, thank you that you let us go our own way. But Lord, I do pray that you would keep me on a short leash, because I have a tendency to stray, Lord. I don't want to stray. God, I want to be right where you are. I want to walk close to you. God, I want to know where you're taking me. I want to go where you're going, Lord. Because everything else is failure. And so, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the thoughts that you think of us. You care for us. That's unfathomable, Lord. And so, Lord, please speak to each one of our hearts individually as to where we are. Are we that rich young ruler? Are we the Israelites? Are we the religious leaders? Are we those who obediently, willingly, faithfully follow like Paul? Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and honor you in the fantastic and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Sing one last song.